Okay, so welcome everyone. I hope everyone had a nice Yontif. So we just want to finish off our series over here on the Malacha of Bona / Makabe Patish. So we've been speaking the past few weeks about the Malacha of Bona. No rain covers of the carriages came up over Yontif because Monday was not such great weather, and then last week after we finished Bona, we started talking about a little bit of Makabe Patish. Makabe Patish and Bona are two malachos that are very similar, and sometimes one picks up where the other one doesn't apply. So we spoke about how Bona is usually combining entities, putting them together and making some sort of structure. And Makabe Patish is more finishing the last touches. And sometimes when you're finished creating the entity that you're creating, so even just the last paint touches on and a design, Rashi writes, right, the Gemara says in one place, just even putting a tzura on a kli. So that's a design on a vessel that could be, because now that makes it marketable, that makes it useful, that it wasn't going to be used in the same way beforehand. So the essence is that basically you're now making an item useful even though you're not building the item. So now you're making it useful in a way that it wasn't useful before. But you don't need as intense combination and building in order to violate that malacha of Makabe Patish. We gave examples. That actually, right after the shiur, Rav called me up, and one of his mispalim asked him if they could have what do you call it? Like the thing we have like at the barbecue, the like blow up things. If they could do it on Yontif, like in their backyard, if they can like blow up one of these moonwalks. So I said, oh, I said, this is our shiur, this is Makabe Patish. I said, you're blowing up for the first, right? We spoke about blowing up for the first time. A ball or any air things. The question is, once they do it the first time, the second time might be mutter. So I said, anyways, I didn't think it was appropriate for Yontif or Shabbos, but filling up those things the first time or putting in laces the first time, now you're making it, you're putting the laces into the boot, into the shoe for the first time, you're making it ineffective kli. If you're doing something intrinsic to the item, so that would be, now that's making it effective, that would be a problem of Makabe Patish. We even spoke about an example of chipping a piece off of wood. I'm not doing any binyan, and I'm just like forming it into be a toothpick. So the Gemara says, you're chayv chatas for doing such a thing. That's the malacha of Makabe Patish. So these are all different examples. And it also applies to things that might have originally been a functional vessel, but they got bent out of shape. And this applies equally to Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara discusses many different forms of Makabe Patish, because Makabe Patish is one of those malachas that are prohibited on Yontif. The Gemara speaks about, you know, fixing a spoon that bent out of shape, or a fork, or cleaning off some rust off of certain knives or forks or kalim or vessels that were ineffective. So even just putting them back, as long as the item was not usable in that time, and now I make it usable, so that could be a problem as well. So let's say my glasses bent out of shape, and I'm not being bony, I'm not putting a screw back into the glasses, but I'm just going to bend them to make them now that they're usable again. So that might be a malacha not of bona, but a malacha of Makabe Patish. So sometimes where you don't have bona, you're going to have the malacha of Makabe Patish. So there are a few gzeiros midrabanan also that apply. One example that I think I left out last week when we were talking about Makabe Patish is, let's say, a book. Let's say you have a book or a sefer that you've never opened up yet, and the pages are stuck together. So that's an example of Makabe Patish, because I'm now, this is straight from the store. It was never used before. I brought a brand new book. And now I'm making the item functional for the first time. If it got stuck together after using it, it was useful beforehand, and then somehow it got stuck together, so then that might not be Makabe Patish. That's mutter. But if it's now, no, it's in its original stages, and it was never open, and now I'm cutting the pages the first time, in order to make it useful, that would be an example. That would be an example of makabe patish. There are a few gzeiros midrabanan that Chazal enacted in the category of makabe patish that come up very often. That really, we're not going to have a chance to talk about any of the time. I just want to mention them. One of the reasons why a person is not allowed to clap or play to a beat, unless you're Hasidish, Minchas Alazar is a Hasid, the Munkacher, is a tshuva that he says, no, it's Aser, but because of the mitzvah of Simcha and Shabbos, it's Doicha. So the limitzchus is that everyone who does it is Hasidish of blood. But the Mishabura doesn't, Mishabura is not so Hasidish. So Mishabura doesn't think that a person, thinks that a person should clap with a shinoi. So the reason was because the Gemara was concerned, Shema Yitakin Klishir, that a person is going to get carried away in the music. Should have seen the Ne'ilas HaChag last night. And Baruch Hashem kept on going and going. But a person can get carried away in a niggin. And ultimately they'll bring out the instruments and they're going to fix the chords. And they're going to find a broken vessel that's not playing, a piano that's not playing on tune, and they're going to fix it. And that's all because of them getting, carried away with either the dancing or the singing. So that was something that Chazal in the Gemara says Chazal asered. Because Shema Yitakin Klishir. What's Yitakin Klishir? That's a gzeir mishamakbe patish. It's a concern that maybe we're going to come and we're going to fix items, and fixing items would be a malacha of makbe patish. The Ramah thinks that a person, and this is the minig to be mekel, the Ramah thinks that bizman hazeh, which I'm sure all of you are thinking right now, bizman hazeh, even if you have a guitar or a drum, you're not going to be the one that's fixing it. You're going to bring it to Sam Ash. And there, I don't know, does that place still even exist? Whatever, it used to be on Route 4. What? It does? It's still there. So you're not going to be the one who's going to fix this item. It's not going to happen. So says the Ramah, this gzeira doesn't apply anymore. So that's a big chiddush. That's a taisus in Beitza. Taisus in Beitza has such a chiddush, but that Mishabura says we don't accept the Ramah. Mishabura says that we still hold that the takana is still in full force, and this is all because of the malacha that we're learning, because maybe you're going to be matakin the kli, shemi atakin kli shir. It's because of that. So it's because of that also that you shouldn't really do anything on beat. It's not only nogeya to clapping, it's really using any instrument that makes sound. And that is really relevant for knockers on doors. Not to use knockers on doors, preferably on Shabbos. Not to knock to a beat. No, we don't do beats, just like we don't do beats on, that's all under the gzera of Shema Yitak and Klishir. And really any noise makers or any things that make sounds, whistles, we should try not to, if a toy, often I get the question, if a toy has two functions, that it's helping a child and it also makes noise, so, again, there is room to be more lenient if there's really two functions of the toy. And also, you also have to judge when to say no to the toy, which maybe we should do a future shir on in Yanei Chinuch, when to tell the child not to. But once a child is in age of Chinuch and he's using a whistle or he's using something, a regular noisemaker, that's just a noisemaker, it's not appropriate. And we don't use items that make sounds because of Shema Yitak and Kli Shir. Yeah. Yeah. It would be we have to learn Mukta, which I think is one of the plans, but that would probably be a Kli Shemalachta L'Isser. It's a vessel that's Miyuchad L'Isser, and we'll learn the differences and the ramifications. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what we were talking about in terms of chinuch. It's in terms of muktzah. So yeah.
So why is clapping and making noises with your own body not allowed? It's not an actual
kli. It's maybe you're going to come and get an instrument and fix the instrument. That's all the gzeira that Chazal. Shemi yitakin kli shir.
You're not going to
Yeah, yeah. If you just knock on a door, that's not exciting.
And whistling, what did you mention?
Whistling's mutter.
Why is that?
Whistling's mutter. It's a good question, but that the poskim say. You know.
And how do you clap?
It was actually one of the kids' shilohs of the week, I think so. I think one of the kids. They've been asking incredible questions. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Mamish, really incredible.
How do you clap for the shinoi? How do
you do that? It's what I do.
It's
yeah, mom. Yeah. And people get nervous.
And then this applies to the answers also.
Yeah. Same. You have more of the Munkatra's kula, because there's for sure a mitzvah of Simcha and Yantif, but it's the same thing. Yeah. So what other gzeiras? What other gzeiras are under Makabe Patish? What other gzeiras? There's a fascinating gzeira that's somewhat relevant here and somewhat not relevant here. Somewhat very relevant in Eretz Yisrael. There is an Isser, and this is really practical for people who are in Eretz Yisrael, or if you ever, you know, once in a while we get these scares, we get these produce in one of the shops in Costco or in the fruit market over here that comes in from Eretz Yisrael. To be mafresh trumas and maisers on Shabbos is also because of mitaken mana, which is a fascinating concept, because this is not really fixing in an objective way, it's fixing in a halachic way. I'm now making the food edible. Before the trumas and maisers that has to be taken off, this item was treif, this item was tevel, which is something that's important to realize, that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, if for a vacation, whatever it is, and if trumas and maisers are not taken off, your kalim could become treif. Meaning trumas and maisers is not just the chumrah. You know, that's serious stuff. And beforehand, it carries an iser tevel with it, which is very serious. And what we're doing, in essence, when we're being mafresh, when we're separating, so we're actually fixing the food. Halachically, now this is making it edible. So that's usher also because of tikkun mana. So those mitzvahs don't really apply on produce that are grown in chutz la'aretz. But there is something that it does apply in chutz la'aretz that is very relevant. Anyone know? Yeah. Chala. So to be mafresh chala on Shabbos would be usher also because of tikkun mana, because you're fixing the item. Now, in chutz la'aretz, there's what to rely on, you know, as long as you take care of it afterwards, you have to give a set of shiurim on challah, but there's a difference between challah chutz la'aretz and challah Eretz Yisrael. We have like a little bit of a freebie, that if a woman forgets to be mafresh challah in chutz la'aretz, as long as she remembers to leave some over, so the Gemara says, when it comes to challah chutz la'aretz, since it's on a lower level, so the Gemara says, oichol v'acher kach mafresh. Gemara says that you could eat it, and then afterwards you could be mafresh. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that. In Eretz Yisrael, where it's the real challah, you have to first be mafresh and then eat it. Otherwise, you're eating treif. In Chutz La'aretz is a special kula that sometimes could be very helpful for this, specifically this situation, which I've had this shiloh, that people have forgot to be mafresh challah, and oy vavoy, we're sitting at lechemish, and I have all these guests, and I'm now mortified, and what do I do? And there's treif on my table. So Baruch Hashem, Chalas Chutz La'aretz, there's ways to deal with it if you deal with it correctly, and you don't have to kill your meal in Eretz Yisrael. It's not as simple. There's a whole, if you mamish forget, it's very complicated, because it's taka aser to be because of makabe patish, because of mitaken mona, because you're actually making a tikkun. And another example of this halachic tikkun of tikkun mona is if a person forgets to tovel their kalim before Shabbos or before Yontif, you are not allowed to tovel your kalim. The Gemara in Beitza says why, and the Gemara says four different options. Maybe you're going to carry it, maybe all these different options, the Gemara says. And then finally the Gemara says, and this is the way the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah Paskin, is that you're actually fixing the vessel. It's a tikkun kli. Again, not a physical tikkun, the kli looks exactly the same, but I'm now going to tell you that there's a myth that is not true. There is no heter to use a kli before there's tefillah. That's not true. There's no one-time freebie. That's not. I don't know what the source, where that came from. I grew up with it also, but that's the tikkun. this is now a kli that's now fit to use. If it's not fit, if it's not nitzbel, if it requires tefillah, and it wasn't nitzbel in a mikvah, so then you're not allowed to use it. When we give a shir, a series on tefillas kelim, so we'll try to figure out what can you do. Erev Shabbos or Friday night, you realize you didn't do tefillas kelim. Are there any eitzas of what to do? Or running into Shabbos, you're not going to be able to. You're not in a place that has a mikvah. Are there any eitzas of what you could do in such a situation? But those are the halachos of Makabe Patish in a nutshell. And it comes up. It comes up you have to keep it on the radar that even though I'm not actually building something, but I could still do something that's very, very simple. You know, like putting feathers into a pillow or opening, the Gemara says, opening the neck of the shirt that the Poseach Beis HaTzaver, the neck of the shirt that they used to sew up, to now make it as a useful shirt, because they used to sew up the top of the shirt. That's the way the merchants would sell the clothing, so that now makes it a functional vessel. As long as it's intrinsic, tikkun, to the item, even though you're not actually building, you're not doing something so crazy and combining it with another entity, you could still violate a malacha of Makabe Patish. I stress intrinsic because I mentioned last time that if you have a price tag that's totally extrinsic, so then there would be sometimes certain price tags that are dangling on the outside that would be mutter to detach. So now that we covered briefly the malachas of Bona and the malachas of Makabe Patish, I want to discuss in our final shiur this issue, which is a combination of really both, of some of the issues that come up regarding opening packages on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Any questions before we start? Okay. Before we introduce opening packages on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have to realize we didn't really learn enough to cover all of the issues with opening packages on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If I would just run down the potential malachas that apply to opening, when approaching opening packages on Shabbos and Yom Tov, let me just think if I can think of all of them. So you have an issue of potentially bona, you have an issue of potentially korea, you have an issue of potentially soser, you have an issue potentially of Makabe Patish, you have an issue potentially of Mechatich, and you have an issue potentially of Mochik. Okay? Those are six malachas out of the 39 malachas that you could potentially violate in opening any of these packages. Why am I saying this? Not because I want to scare anyone, because I understand that there is situations that packages have to be opened, but because I want to stress something that all the poskim stress. And this is more important, and I think in light of hearing how many malachas are involved, you can understand where they're coming from. Just, if you foresee it, open it before Shabbos. You know you're going to have something, so you have Ziploc bags, just open it before Shabbos. You totally resolve all the issues by opening anything that you potentially might need on Shabbos. All the poskim, the pe'echad, agree that that is the best suggestion, but obviously there are situations where there is the unforeseen, and you're not going to know what's gonna come up. So that's why we're going to discuss on Shabbos if we need something that we didn't know that we need. So what malachas? What should we be aware of? What are possibly some of the heterim, and how do we go about those heterim? So this is really the appropriate time to do it, because after you finish Bona and after you finish Makabe Patish, so there are certain things that we've discussed that are really the background to some of the issues that we discussed that apply to opening these vessels. So if you remember, there was a debate that I presented about that the Gemara discusses if Yesh Binyan or Ein Binyan Bekalim. We distinguish between Binyan and the structure of the house, and Binyan, when it comes to vessels, when it comes to movable items, when it comes to something that might be small. So the Gemara has this language, you know, that Beis Hillel will say, Ein Binyan in Stir V'Kalim. The Gemara says, and the Gemara quotes it in other places, Ein Binyan Stir V'Kalim, in the Lashon of certain Amoraim. So the Gemara says, there's no building and destroying when it comes to vessels, which gives off the impression that, wow, vessels are pretty simple to deal with. and everything's okay. So if you remember, that was really the opinion of Shitas Rashi. Rashi had the opinion that you take the Gemara at face value, and really what the Gemara means is that there is no binyan, there is no building when it comes to vessels, when it comes to movable objects, and binyan is really just by structures that are connected to the ground, and that we spoke about in the first year. So therefore, Rashi, whenever the Gemara discusses putting, you know, items together like a menorah or things, or the Gemara says or a mita, the Gemara talks about. So the Gemara is talking about putting parts together of a vessel. So Rashi writes there l'shita. So Rashi has to hold that that's not binyan, that's makah v'patish, because Rashi holds ein binyan in stira v'kelim, and that holds true. So therefore, it's fascinating. That's how you see that the Rishonim l'shitasim had to explain different Gemaras different ways based on their opinion, and that's the psak of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon paskins like Rashi, and he holds really ein binyan stira v'kelim, and all those Gemaras were referring to makah v'patish. However, Taisus is very bothered with this Rashi. And many of the Rishonim attack Rashi, because there are Gemaras, like I said, all over that seem to assume that there is some sort of binyan when it comes to kelim. So Taisus says, really, in binyan stir v'kelim, when it comes to certain kelim, not, and when it comes to certain kelim, yes, because I have other Gemaras that seem to apply that binyan and stira does apply to kelim. So what's the nekuda? What's the litmus test? How do you know when yes and when not? So Tosas says that it depends. If it's a mustiki, Tosas quotes a Gemara, if it's a very, very weak vessel, so then that's what the Gemara says, ein binyan stira v'kelim. But if it's a kli that's strong, that's really, that has the ability, that's durable, and that has the ability to last, and a person forms that on Shabbos, so then Taisa says, then the klal of ein binyan stira v'kelim would not apply. If you're dealing with a real hard, strong vessel, then Taisa says, then that would actually, the malach of bona would actually apply to such a vessel. So the psak of Shulchan Aruch is like Tosos, against the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon argues with Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes that we do hold fundamentally that there could be binyan and stir of a kelim, and obviously according to Tosos, so then your question will be, so when will it be mutter? It will only be a mutter in a very weak and shvach vessel that doesn't, that's what the Gemara called is a mustiki, that's what it's going to be mutter, and that's what Tosos says. The Gemara says that there was this package, and they wanted to get inside, to get the food inside the package. The Gemara says, Shaiver es achavis, kedei lakachas masha besoch. The Gemara says that they were able to break the chavis in order to get what was inside. So Rashi says, great, this is perfect for me, Rashi says, because it's a kli, and there's no steer over here. There's no binyan and steer of a kalim. It's totally great. Rashi's so excited about this Gemara. Tosos has some explaining to do. So Taisa says, no, that was talking about a weak vessel. That was talking about a mustiki. So as long as you'll have a weak vessel, so then, according to Taisus, you're going to be okay. The problem now comes up with what happens when you have things that are clearly not weak vessels. Clearly not a mustiki. What's clearly not a mustiki? A can. A can is durable. A can is strong. A can is something that's really, that l'chora Taisus would hold. That's an example of yesh binyan and stir of a kelim. If that's the case, so what are you going to say? What are you going to do? So there's a long tshuva of Moshe Feinstein that tries to work on this issue of can a person open up cans on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe first of all says, well, first of all, everyone's going to open up their cans before Shabbos. But just in case they didn't open up their cans before Shabbos, would there be anything to rely on? So he says, maybe it's going to be dependent on Rashi and Taisus, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and the Mechaber, because this is a durable vessel. This is a sturdy kli. This is a kli that there should be binyan and stira v'kelim, and that's the psak of Shulchan Aruch. So what are we going to do according to the Mechaber, says the Rav Moshe? We don't want to just rely on the Vilna Gaon and Rashi. We don't want to get against the Shulchan Aruch. So says Rav Moshe, a fascinating chiddush. He says, perhaps we can say a chiddush. Perhaps we can say that just like the Shulchan Aruch holds that it wouldn't be a problem of stira, of demolishing a vessel, if you crack a walnut, if you try to open the shell of a kli, or if you open up a banana peel, right? That's not considered stira, because that's batel to the food that you have over there. So perhaps one could suggest that all food, there's a man-made shell. Any container that the food is in is considered like the shell of the nut, like the outer coating of the food, and that's all you're doing. It's not perceived as demolishing, as taking a vessel and being soser it, like if it would be by this chair, or like it would be by the shtender. But rather over here, since it's a peel, it's a container of the food, it's protecting the food, so therefore, perhaps, says Rav Moshe, one could suggest that the reason why you're allowed to open the can is because it's not stira, but rather it's like the cracking of the klipas agozim or the peels of the banana. So that's what Rav Moshe suggests in terms of why it's not stira. Rav Moshe thinks fundamentally a can should have been soser, because now you're demolishing a sturdy entity, according to the Mechaber, against the Gra. But he says, perhaps one could look at it in a different light and say, no, but I'm just removing a peel, just like I do that when it comes to other foods that have hard, that have and protections, that I'm allowed to do so. That's Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, that I can peel certain fruits. Why I'm allowed to do that? Why is it a Malach of Dosh? Why is it a Malach of Borer? That's for another, I think we might have touched on it in Dush, but we didn't speak about Borer, but in Achrami, a person has to make sure when they're peeling, anytime they're peeling things, you have to make sure that you're using it right away. If a person's peeling and deciding to use this for Shalashuddhis, that's a problem. You cannot do that. So just because everyone peels fruits doesn't mean it's mutter in all situations. You have to do it in its right way. And there are potentially other malachas, but Rav Moshe is right fundamentally that there is no stira, and even though stira was on the books and would have been shayach to a tuna can, let's say, one would theoretically, according to this suggestion of Rav Moshe, one would theoretically have what to rely, according to Rav Moshe, to use a can opener and open up a can on Shabbos. However, Rav Moshe ends off his tshuva, and he says, I don't suggest people do this, because people are not going to know to differentiate. They're going to apply this to other situations of stira, of binyan, and I'm very nervous about people misunderstanding my psak. So practically, Rav Moshe suggests that a person, unless he needs, he should ask a goy to open up the vessel for him. That was the Tshuva of Rav Moshe, which really presents things as fundamentally me'ikar adin. He really thought there was what to be makel about and not be caught in the trap of what Tosfos should suggest, that this should be an issue of stira. Says Rav Moshe, perhaps there's a way to even circumvent the issue of stira if we view it in this light of a klipa, of a shell. What's fascinating is the Chazon Ish had a totally different perspective on the cans. And the Chazon Ish, give me 1 second. Chazon Ish said, absolutely not. Chazon Ish says, you're in the wrong malacha. The Chazon Ish says, let's go back. Said the Chazon Ish, you're in the malacha of bona. Said the Chazon Ish, when you're opening this tuna can, or when you're opening this can, so now you're making this usable. You're now making this you're able now to access the tuna. So said the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish argues, and this is now going to be usable. I'll give you a proof. I keep all my shkolim in this can. I keep all my safety pins in this can. I keep my collection of stamps in this can. So said the Chazon Ish, I look at it in the reverse way. I look at it in the way that right now this item is not usable when it's sealed. And once you open up what just happened, you now made it into a what? Made it into a kli. Which, by the way, could have ramifications outside of Hilchos Shabbos. The Chazon Ish's understanding that when I'm taking something that's sealed I'm making it into a kli, so that might have effects on tefillas kelim. So who made this item? Who was miyatzer this vessel? Not the guy who made it in the store. I made it because I opened it. If the Chazon Ish is serious about calling this binyan, and I'm creating this, so it might have ramifications, legabi tefillas kelim, not for now, but it's just an interesting thought to have. But it's fascinating. Shlomo Zalman, when he was disagreeing, he writes against this Chazon Ish. Shlomo Zalman writes, I don't understand. So the way you, how does the Chazon Ish view the factory? He says the factory, according to the Chazon Ish, what should be the factory considered? The one that's sealing up the cans? They're actually being soser. They're destroying the vessel because it's unusable. And only when it gets into my house and I take out the can opener, according to the Chazon Ish, the way the Chazon Ish looks at a can is that now it's binyan, which means up until now, it was stira. So it's fascinating. According to the Chazon Ish, we're paying them for demolishing our stuff. But that's where Shlomo Zalman has a hard time understanding that up until now, you mamish thought that everything was in a demolished state, and now only now it's becoming... It's coming into its real binyan that it is. So the Chazon Ish held the opposite, and the Chazon Ish held that this is a totally different issue, and it's not an issue of stira b'kelim and Rashi and Tais, but this is mamish bayna. This is being bayna. This is making the item usable, and that would be a very very serious issue. However, according to the Chazon Ish, which I think people should be choshish for, there's a very simple way to deal with it. One is open it up before Shabbos. But that's not what I'm saying. Destroy it. According to the Chazon Ish, as long as it's destroyed, so then it's not going to be a binyan, because that's not a functional vessel once it's destroyed. So however you destroy it, so you puncture it at the bottom or whatever it is, so that would be a way to get around it, which according to Rav Moshe, again, Rav Moshe in his May Ikar Adin presentation, there would be no point to doing that because fundamentally I'm looking at it as a shell. There is a third opinion, which is the biggest, most lenient opinion, which is nice to keep in your back pocket, which is the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he held that anything that's disposable, that's going to go in the garbage, that equals what? What do we say according to Tosfos? There's no binyan in stira, and even Tosfos agrees that that's the way you explain those kalim that even Tosfos has to agree to. It's called a what? A mustaki. There's some sort of shvach vessel that Tosfos has to agree and sign on to that the Gemara says they were destroying in order to extract those items. Shover the mesachav is Tosfos. You're going to have to explain that. What was that? So Tosfos says that was a mustaki. So the whole assumption that I began with the whole discussion of Ramesh and the Chazon Ish was what? The tuna cans, they're very sturdy. They're very they're durable. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, yeah, but maybe you shouldn't focus on that. Maybe a mustaki is also something that's disposable. Maybe something that's being junked. Something that's being thrown out. Something that's not going to last. Something that's not going to be around. So perhaps that would be a kula. However you slice it, if you're keeping an item with half of its contents in it, that would be also according to everyone. Right? So, or at least according to the Chazon, maybe according to Rav Moshe, you would have a kula, but Rav Moshe is telling you not to rely on him. But I'm saying even according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, no, that's not going in the garbage. Now you're keeping it in. And according to the Chazon Ish, now you might be actually viewed as using the vessel that you just made. So how are you calling this a mustaki? That's real binyan. So if your mom is using it, so then you really shouldn't be doing that. You should dispose it. You should switch it to another Tupperware or to another Ziploc, whatever you're going to be using, and totally, really, I think you should, if you're going to be opening this, the best according to the Chazon Ish is to try to puncture it, and if not, if you're not able to destroy it, so then you throw it in the garbage is the next best. This doesn't only apply to cans; it also applies to boxes. Boxes are more sturdy, and there's a question if that's the status of a mustaki. And really, when you open up boxes, it always happens. You run out of. In our house, we have the special Shabbos is cocoa pebbles and fruity pebbles. Once a week, we have the cocoa pebbles and fruity. So it happens that sometimes It's unbelievable. How could Mami and Abba forget to open the cocoa pebbles, fruity pebbles before Shabbos? So sometimes it's Mami, it's pekuch nefesh. You have to destroy the box. You have to. I remember once in Teaneck, they asked me. It was a parent-child learning, and they forgot to open. They always have Geschmack prizes that are in the boxes. So Henry once asked me. It was Friday night, and he's very nervous. He's not going to have the prizes for parent-child learning. The whole thing's going to go bust. You know, so like. So I said, I told him, destroy the box. That's what the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa says. In situations where you need to see, destroy the box on Shabbos. We didn't take care of it beforehand. So then even according to the Chazon Ish, there's nothing, there's no Kli over here. And there's no, and then it's totally destroyed. When you're opening these things, there's another point that you have to realize. That again, ideally we're saying to open everything beforehand. If it's not open, you get stuck in a situation. So try to destroy it. And at least make sure, even if you don't destroy, just try to destroy it. And even if you don't destroy it, make sure you empty it out and dispose it. So that's the best, the hierarchy of things. When it comes to bags, so there are other malachas that we didn't learn about. There's the malach of Korea, and we have to discuss certain things about Korea, in order to understand that. But, there might be a difference between bags, you know. A lot of the small potato chip, the snack bag, so the kids are getting rid of it, are going to finish it right away. You know, but if you have a big chips bag, so then that might be a shaila. Is that a mustaki? Is it not a mustaki? You can hear both svaras, you know, within the Chazon Ish. It's not as sturdy, but at the same time, you do store things in a bag like that. You know, so yesh v'yesh. It could be that according to the Chazon Ish, he would want you to put that into a Ziploc bag and destroy the other side of the bag. So some argue that bags are mutter even according to Chazon Ish. That's a shaila in the post. I think if it's not a big deal for anyone just to open up a Ziploc, you know, you stay out of the shaila, just empty the items into a Ziploc, and you don't have a shaila even according to the Chazon Ish, even according to potentially Rosh Shlomo Zalman, because it's not necessarily disposable over here. It's not a mustaki. So that's the best option, and you would destroy the vessel or throw it out. It is important to note that the Gemara also points out that when you're opening these vessels, there's a special concern. In addition to all of the binyan and stira issues, it is a concern within the Makom B'Patis Shailos, because the Gemara says even if you're going to be shover this kli, and we might allow you to be shover the kli, the Gemara says, but don't make a marzif. The Gemara says, but don't make a special Pesach, a special opening, so that you see that even though there might have been kulas in the world of Binyan and Stira, but there are no kulas when it comes to Makom B'Patis of making a spout or making a nice opening to the vessel. So anytime a person is going to make a nice opening to the vessel, Nasiyas Pesach Yafeh, that will be something that there is no, there we're very machmir about. So that would include, let's say you have the old milk cartons, right? That you create that spout. So Moshe says that would be a serious shaila to create that, to open up that spout on Shabbos. I don't think most of the milk, they don't come in those anymore, right? They stopped making those. Do they still make oranges like that? Yeah. That's the spout. What? Right. The Welsh farms, right, exactly, right, that's right. So that would be a Shiloh, that Rabbi Meisha would say is Aser. So that would be a Pesach Yafe. Or another Pesach Yafe, that's a Shiloh amongst the poskim. Many poskim are machmir for this, is soda cans. You're opening up a soda can with a nice Pesach in the front. You're not just destroying the Kli, you're making a nice Pesach. And there might be another malacha associated with the soda cans. Does anyone know what the other malacha might be with the soda cans that we also didn't have a chance to discuss? Is the malacha of mechatech, because there's a perforated area that I'm now cutting, and it's a specific area that I'm cutting. With the exception, there's a cooler Shlomo Zalman has about that, but for sure in terms of Pesach Yafe, that would be a serious issue that I would tell people, do not open soda cans on Shabbos. You see that even if we might have taken care of Binyan and Stira, but that's not going to allow you to open up out a spout and open up a Pesach like a soda can, that would be a problem. In terms of the other orange juice cartons, let's say that it's just like a rip off of the tab under the, I think that would be mutter. Because there, we didn't learn Kriya, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit, something that's very important. Why are you allowed to open a yogurt on Shabbos? It should be Koreya. I'm tearing this item on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Beferish that it's mutter. So the Gemara says you have a chavis, Koreya or Shalpia chavis. You have leather that's tied on top of the chavis. The Gemara says you're allowed to rip it open on Shabbos to get to the items that are inside the chavis. So that would be similar to all of these yogurts. You have this tin, it's like an aluminum cover that's on top of the lid or whatever it is, it's plastic, that's on top of the cover. I'm just peeling it open in order to get to the food that's inside. Chazal said that that's not considered Korea. Why that's not considered Korea? So it's fascinating. The Chazan Ish, on that halacha, there's different explanations why it's not considered Korea, and we really have to hold off till we learn the fundamental yesodos about Korea. But the Chazan Ish uses the same logic that we applied with Rav Moshe about about not being soser, because it's like the peel of the nut. So the Chazan Ish applied that to Korea. The Chazan Ish says, we don't view you as being Korea over here, we just view you as cracking open the shell of a food, and since you're, no one's going to say that peeling a banana is Korea. No one's going to say, says the Chazan Ish, that cracking a walnut is Korea. That's bottle to the food. That's the peel of the food, and it's just way to get to the food. So that's not, we don't perceive that as ripping. That's not the malacha of Korea. So that's the way the Chazan Ish explained this Gemara, that the Gemara says you can be Korea or Shalpia Chavis. So that can help us with a lot of the malachas of Korea in terms of most of these shilas. You're probably not going to face the malach of Korea because of this Gemara in much of the shilas that you have. So I think those tabs would be the same thing. You're not really creating a Pesach. There's just like a covering on top of the hole that's already formed, and you're not making Makabah Patish a Pesach brand new that would be potentially usher. But there is a potential issue when it comes to bottle caps. I'm opening up a bottle for the first time. So, how do we view that? So, it's covering the bottle. What's the problem? So there's a total other problem that the poskim brought up. Because if you look at a bottle, when you look at the cap, so the cap is now tied up and is not usable as a cap because it's attached to the ring. So once it's sealed to that ring, so came along many poskim, and they said that now loses its function as a cap, because now it's not going on and off as a cap. So essentially, what am I doing when I'm twisting it off of the ring? What I'm doing is I'm making a kli on Shabbos. What violation would be making a kli on Shabbos? Not bone, but makabah patish. I just formed a kli. I just made something useful, even though all of the items that were necessary and that needed to be there and all the ingredients was there, so I wasn't building anything, but through a mere twist, I just made something that wasn't usable into usable. And you'll argue to me, said the poskim, that it was a cap originally and then they sealed it onto the ring in the factory. So said Reb Shlomo Zalman, no. But once it became not usable, just like I said by the glasses, once it became not usable, so that's still makabah patish. You could have makabah patish even if it's not usable. And you'll tell me, what do you mean? You're going to throw it out in a second anyways. So first of all, that's not always the case, right? If I have a bottle of soda, I might keep it around. But let's say we're talking about a small bottle that I'm going to finish and I'm going to throw it out in a second. So said Reb Shlomo Zalman, and a toothpick that you pick off the piece of wood and you make it into a toothpick that the Gemara says you're chayav chatas for because you're makabah patis, you just took a chip of wood and made it into a toothpick. You're not going to throw that away, said Reb Shlomo Zalman. That's also a chayav makabah patis just because it's disposable. So just because something's going to necessarily be thrown off doesn't necessarily, said Reb Shlomo Zalman, he's not convinced that that's going to automatically be a heter on the makabah patis issues. Now, there are different opinions of the poskim in terms of this issue of the bottle caps. Do you view it like that? Do you not view it like that? And there are some that distinguish between different types of bottle caps. some think that the plastic caps are not as bad as the metal caps because of what I just said, that the plastic caps at least were caps beforehand and then they get formed onto the ring. But the metal caps were always one piece and were never a cap to begin with. So that's a debate amongst bozi. You'll find people that have different milhagim when it comes to the bottle caps. What is the issue? The issue is making a kli. Is this issue of makom patish? That is the potential issue. So that is a different shittas. However, this is something that I think is very important to point out. I have not found anyone who is makel by the twist off of the waters and the milks. That is something that's not so known. And I think that people should be, if you know your milks, so you have that ring that you pull off, and then, so that is really a cap. That is really a cap. So that is not going to be, that's going to be more similar to the metal caps. That's not going to be like the debate amongst the plastic caps. So I would suggest that even if a person is mako by the plastic caps, which again is a big shiloh in the poskim, but I think the milk caps should be taken more seriously. And it's not just the milk, I shouldn't say milk caps, it's also waters. Waters have the same thing. So what I do is when we get a thing, because we try not to use the water cooler on whatever, we'll talk about that another time in terms of the issues with the water coolers on Shabbos when you're filling up pitchers. So we have Poland Spring bottles. So what I do is when I get the Poland Spring bottles straight, my wife gets them from Costco, when we put them in the garage, I wring off all the tops just right away. Just cover shot, right? We say Shir Shal Yom every day at the end of the day. Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos. Hayom Yom Shein Shabbos, right? Beishamai said whenever they got a nice parah in the field, they said, oh, this is going to be a good piece of meat for Shabbos. So you could do that with Poland Spring bottles also. You say, today's 4 days before Shabbos. I know what's going to happen. If I don't take care of this right now, I'm going to be stuck on Shabbos without any water, and I don't want to be stuck with any shallows, and I don't want to have to be fancy with all the tricks that my kids have with the knives and flipping it out and flying it into the ceiling and then not having a cap to cover it with and trying to find another cap, you know, all around the house to cover it. No, just peel it off beforehand. You still have the cap there, and that's exactly what you're forming. You're forming a functional cap at that point in time. It'll be totally usable, and that is something that I suggest should be done. Yeah.
Two questions. One is, this just might be the final line, but why is changing a cap by twisting it off, changing its entity when it's not, it was a cap all the time? You take wood and change it to toothpick, you're totally changing what its function is and its form. With a cap, you're just untwisting it from a certain point.
So some of the posts can agree with you, and that's why they're makeable by caps. The other poskim suggest that no, since it cannot be used as a cap right now, and without you twisting it off. No. Cap. A function of a cap is to put it on and off. No. A function as a cap is to be able to remove it on and off. It's like a door. You can put it on, you can put it off. Right now, it's just acting as like an or al pi achavis. It's just a cover. That's not the cap. I now introduce a new function to this item that it now can be moved on and off. That's what the poskim said, that you're creating that, and right now it's not functioning. Maybe others can argue, no, it's not, because what
to me, a cap is keeping something in. So
yeah, so I don't know why. I don't. A cap to me is screwing on and off. I mean, that's a function. No, I'm saying there's another function that you're ignoring with a cap.
It's that now I have the ability to open it.
Right. Right.
So what is the manufacturer, their intention is for it to be disposable or for it to be a cap when they created it? Meaning,
we make Hilchos Shabbos based on the Metzius. That's the argument against it. What they eventually wanted this to be is not what the Metzius is right now.
No,
you know. Right, but that's what the Chazon Ish is saying. But the fact is that I see people right now that are using cans. So it's binyan. Who cares what they think? Lamaisa, people are using it. So that's the metzius again. It's not based on the man. Who cares? Like what the manufacturer thinks is not going to be koveya what Hilchos Shabbos is. It's based on whether or not people keep it around. People use it.
So
It's based on the kavanas of people. Melech's machshavas. It's what's your machshava at the Shas Melech. Yeah.
Would you be allowed to, like if you forgot to open your, would you be allowed to throw, like if you save a cat from an old bottle, would you be allowed to open it, throw the cat out, and then use like an old cat? Like
you're saying even according to, you want to know, even according to the Machmirim, even according to the Machmirim, would you want to know, even according to the Machmirim, I want to be yotz to the Machmirim and take the cap off and now throw it out.
Like if you have like a
that's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. L'chora, that should depend on whether or not the heter of something disposable applies to makah b'patish. And that's what we pointed out, that it doesn't. So, in theory, you're right, even though we found when it came to binyan and stira that there was a heter of mustaki and disposable, but when it comes to makah b'patish, right, as long as you essentially made something physically functional, so I don't think that would be a heter. You could puncture it and not make it usable and then take it off. And then, right, exactly, yeah. That would be good, right? Yeah.
Yeah. How do you open the bottles of wine or sparkling grape juice that have the disposable foil
on the outside?
Right,
so that foil on the outside, would be like the yogurt tops, where you're being korea or shalpia chavis. The only potential issue that we didn't discuss is the perforated lines, which hold off now. That would be a machlokes Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv, whether or not that would be an issue to cut on those lines. But even if you're cutting on those lines, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's makel. And if you're not cutting on those lines, so then it's just korea shalpia chavis. So now you can just get straight to the cork. What are you talking
about?
This is a little embarrassing, but like dungaroos?
Like
the Sabra red things?
Break a hard plastic piece off the corner, and then it reveals
right. So, Wait, why isn't why? It, essentially, it's like the yogurt. No, it just has that. Why isn't it like the yogurt? You're taking it off, no?
Real
Tupperware.
Yeah, and then you break that piece off. But otherwise, you can't open it. You have to break that piece off to use it. And then you keep your dip in there.
So this is probably exactly like the cap shiloh.
Right. And then the candy Tupperware is also, I think that's more appropriate.
Right, so we didn't talk about the perforated lines, but there we have to talk about mechatech in terms of the perforated lines. There is what to rely on in terms of that. Yeah, I think this would be the same as a bottle cap. Because fundamentally it was sealed on. And that's the shiloh that we were discussing. How do you view a cap when it's sealed on? It was a cap, and now it got sealed, so does that become ice shame cap? So that was the debate that we were having, which is a machlokes haposkim. How do you view a cap? So whatever a person does on plastic bottle caps, they would do on that as well. Why isn't it different? Why isn't it the same as cans?
No, because you said the heter with cans that
you are. I'm saying you have the same. Well, no. I said that according to Moshe, you could view it as a shell. According to the Chazon Ish, you're not allowed to, right? So then I think the same would exist when it comes to cans, but there's a bigger problem when it comes to cans because you have a Pesach, a soda can. So it's worse. You have a makah b'patish. You have a hole that you made. You didn't only just destroy the kli. You made a hole. by opening it at that specific peh. So that's worse. I'm saying the soda cans are even if you might have had a heter according to Moshe, which I'm telling you, don't rely on that, because the Chazon Ish would disagree, you know, unless you need to, unless you're really stuck. But here it's worse because you're actually making a nice opening. A nice opening is another malacha, not just binyan and stira, but it's a malacha of makabah patish. So that's another issue, and we didn't even get to opening on the perforated lines, which would be potentially machatich, which would be that machlokas from Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv that I didn't discuss. So soda cans are worse.
But like a regular can?
A tuna can?
Yeah.
So that would be the issue with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that you're now being bona a kli. The best way is to destroy it, and if you can't destroy it, so then throw it out. At least don't leave it in the can. Remove it all. Remove all of it. Best is destroy the bottom, then take off the top. Next best is dispose it. Best is destroy the bottom, then take it off the top. Next best is dispose of it, but don't keep it in. Okay? The food in. As a kli.
When?
On Shabbos.
After you open it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Oh, right.
Dump it. Yeah.
I have a time for a question.
And ideally do that with bags also. Like this 30 bags and, you know, the bags.
What?
Like
if you destroy the box and you forgot. What about the bag inside? Can you keep the food in that bag?
Probably be the same Shiloh. Ideally, you should put it into like a Ziploc, yeah. Yeah. You would, again, some poskim are makeup by bags. But if you don't want to rely on those poskim and you want to be choshes, so you could always dump it out. The best thing is always to dump it out. You stay away from shot. I'm not telling you there's no one to rely on, but the best thing is to dump it out. If you can dump it out, dump it out. Yeah.
If you poke a hole in the bottom of like a can of corn or something, and like the liquid starts to come out.
The bottom?
Right.
You basically just made a filter.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that's not your kavana. But the segresha, that's something that's inevitable. It's automatically going to drip out. So. Uh-huh.
Like, I've done it before in, like, the liquid.
Right. So let's think. So what's a good eitzah? To what?
Can you crush it afterwards? I know someone who opens her cans and then she steps on it to crush them. I don't know.
What if you put something under it to prevent the dripping out, like after you made a hole?
Right, that's good. That's a good idea.
Just keep
something underneath that it doesn't come out. Don't hold it up. Right.
Could you put your finger on the hole again? Like, I gotta open it.
I don't know. You tell me. Wait, why don't you just put it on the bottom of the sink? Yeah, like she's saying.
Well, it's
just all collecting there. I think that's fine. Yeah.
Why
is a can opener on the tip? It's a klishim lachta. Again, we have to learn muktzah, but it's letzarech gufo. And according to Moshe, it's not even necessarily a klishim lachta iser. There's no iser. Because all it is, it cracks shells. So it's for both those reasons, it's mutter. Yeah.
I had once heard when opening bags, either destroy it or open a small.
Right. So the idea of opening a very small opening, I don't think is necessarily going to be practical. The reason they told you that is because you're not making a Pesach at all. So that removes it from being this issue of makor patish of making a Pesach. But how do you get around the fact that you need to remove the contents? So if you need to remove the contents, and if you're concerned about it storing these items, so then I think that you really should destroy the bag, unless you hold that. You're right. If you're going to keep it as holding the contents, so then that's not really a mustiki anymore. So then you should try to empty it out. Yeah.
What about the glass jar or the plastic jar?
Like a jam?
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I don't think that that's even making it functional. I think it is functional. I don't think it was ever like really sealed. It's like vacuum sealed, but I don't think that. I don't think there was ever a matzah, if I'm going to say something a little yeshivish right now, called ice cap. Like it was, it's always a cap, even and it's tight. They just tightened it very much. You know, I don't have to actually break anything to make it into its cap form. Over here with the bottle cap, there's actually a lock. There's something that I actually have to, you know, reintroduce it into its cap form that makes it potentially an issue. And all these issues are Yontif and Shabbos issues. Gemara and Beitza on Yontif talks about Asiyas Kli all the time when it comes to Yontif. So these are, and Bona is an issue on Yontif also. That's what we spoke about in the Shilohs that came up with Lauren this year, Sukkot, about being Bona the Sukkah. These Bona is an issue that comes up on Yontif also. So it's all relevant to the Yontif that we just had. And to the Yontif of and for Shabbos. So I'm just gonna quickly hold this. Wow, it's late.